And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, we explore Luke as a profile of one of the individuals in the New Testament. Short one, but a good one. There are fascinating characteristics of Luke that we should not only aim to emulate, but also appreciate his level of commitment. While many people know him as a doctor, it's less commonly known that he wasn't Jewish, which kind of seems like a contradiction because of the Jewish doctor thing. There, okay. See, I'm Jewish. I can say that. Next, during my Bible studies, I encountered a unique format. Now, listen. This is new. That I found to be akin to immersing myself in Scripture, scriptural bath. A scriptural bath. Hold on. I believe there's a powerful concept in finding encouraging words in our ministry endeavors in this. I have a list of verses I'm going to be happy to share. I'll be reading each one with accompanying comments afterwards. This teaching draws inspiration from Betty Barnett, one of the directors of Wham. And so it's very important to understand. She talks about this spiritual bath process. It's like, what? Scriptural bath, spiritual bath. I can't wait to see it. And then finally, and this will be the mind blower of all, I stumbled upon a very intriguing revelation in the Greek text. During the temptations, Jesus answered Satan three times. What is most fascinating of how Jesus answered Satan three times is what many of us, myself included, for 40 plus years, missed in his reply to the enemy. So we will do a brief study on that. And for those that enjoy word studies, for this Friday, it's going to be a treat.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show. Not Texas, text us. See that difference? 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! Talking to Dynamite D is like heading into the weekend. That's right. So we did 5 days on simulcast, first time ever. I think we did all right.
Very fun. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
But it was a lot of fun. And I saw you during the break. I'm so encouraged by our callers kind of down here embracing the callers. The listeners up there. So
yeah,
that's kind of fun.
I mean, that's really, if you just really understand this, if you understand, especially what we're talking about in 2 Corinthians, and we talked about this, Dee and I did, it's like, okay, so Paul talks to the church at Corinth about helping the church at in Jerusalem, and then uses Macedonia, the church there, to show as an example. See, these are city churches, people of gatherings, all collective, helping others. It's like, we want to be like the early church. We'll try that then. That's all I got to say.
All right, that was a good line, right?
That was a great line.
That was a pretty good one, right? We want to be like the early church. Okay,
All right. So just going to point that out. Look, if you got a prayer request or a praise report, fantastic. Not that you have the prayer request, but that we'll join with you. We will take our faith and put it with yours and offer it up and petition the Lord. If you've got a praise report, okay, then fantastic. And so then you can call us and we'll give you the opportunity to share it. You don't have to share it brilliantly. We got a 7-second delay. Don't worry. It's not the end of the world. It's like we'll do our best, but we want it to be a blessing to other people. Our goal here is to strengthen one another. It's not a kvetch fest, but it is an opportunity to encourage, strengthen, and fortify one another. And sometimes people sharing what they're going through is very helpful for other people to hear. And all of us praying together is absolutely what the Lord has in mind. We also do Bible trivia. And so if you have an answer for this, here's Bible trivia for you. Ready? Which New Testament book? Okay, so you got, you know, it's 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. So you're in the 27 in the New category. Which New Testament book tells us Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are? He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained, did not rain for X amount of time on the earth. So in other words, what book references that? Elijah was a man subject to like passions we pray like we are. He prayed earnestly, it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth. What book in the New Testament tells us that story, that element? Only hint. It's not one of the Gospels or Acts. So now I just cut it down by 5. So you just went from 27 to 22. So you got a 1 in 22 chance of getting it right. All right? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, we're going to do our DNA because we moved DNA out of the first half hour into the last 60 minutes. And so here's our DNA because we think it's very, very important. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
You know, if we say this 10,000 times and you spend one extra time spending time with God, we win. I mean, that's successful. That's how we look at this. Because every time you're spending time with the Lord, man, I had devotions today and they were lights out fantastic. I had them twice, actually. I did like a double devotion. It was just great. About 45 minutes in one place, about 25 minutes, and it was just unbelievable.
And that's always encouraging to hear too, Dave.
It's just like you, if you get closer to the Lord, and then I just one thing, you can just be so honest. Instead of trying to hide even from yourself, it's like, just tell them.
I was thinking about you saying something the other day. You was like, don't go in there with your speech, you know, kind of like thing, and I was like, oh, that's good. You know, you like offer to pray this type of way.
We do that, yeah. It's just like the prodigal son. He comes back. He's got a speech. The dad's he's crying on him. He's hugging him, and the kid's just going through the speech. Like, you know, I think you're missing the point here. Probably shows the prodigal son might not have been the brightest of the sons, but that's besides the point. All right, so that's D. Draw closer to the Lord daily, and never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. Never, ever be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. If the world tries to shame you, remember they're trying to shame Jesus. And then A, always be ready
to serve,
which means OPM, other people matter, which means that we care about other people, focus on other people, put some of our strength and our energy towards other people, and then we find out that that turns out to be a blessing for us. Get it? All right, one more on the triv offering, and then we'll go into the teaching. Which New Testament book tells us Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are? Prayed earnestly, it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth. Which book tells us that? If you think you know, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Here you go. Here's a little teaching on Luke. It's not a long one, but it's a good one. We've talked about all the different disciples. I wanted to bring this one in because it's just the right time for it. Luke, the evangelist. Many of you know he was what? A doctor. Dr. Luke. He was a physician. Dr. Luke. He's the one that could say, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning, right? And then the rest of that joke, for those that don't know, is that going to help? And then the doctor goes, couldn't hurt. Okay, anyway, so here's where we're at. Luke means bringer of light. That's what his name means. Wow, that's aptly named, right? Because Luke, the gospel bringer of light, with millions and millions of people becoming Christians because of this guy writing, right? Wow. He wrote 52 total chapters in the New Testament, which covers about 20%. So somewhere between Paul and John and Luke is the big majority of everything, just so you can know. So there's three primary big writers. That helps people.
I don't think I knew that, Dave.
That's just a good thing to know. His characteristics, of course, he was warm and humane. The phrase like looked upon, where it says looked upon in the Greek, or examined, those are medical phrases. Did you know that? Most people don't know that. Okay, you got medical phrases. So, well, who would know that? Well, you got to study the Greek if you want to know it. You don't need to know that for salvation, but it's fun, right? Obviously, a well-educated physician. He met Paul on his second missionary journey. Remember, Paul had three total missionary journeys, and he was a Gentile and the only Gentile author in the New Testament. So just think about that. It's like, what? He was a Gentile? Yes. Yes, that is correct. Some people say in the tradition is he could have been one of the 70s or a convert of the Apostle Paul. Nah, sure. So there's no surety there, so we don't go with that, okay? He loves people, and you can tell by the way he writes his care for people. Here's the big thing I want you to catch about Luke. He wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Okay, which is super important because he's the one that was chosen to write the continuation of the initiation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It tells you how valuable the Lord considered him. In Acts, now I'm just going to read the references and then we'll get into some of the other. In Acts 16, 10, chapter 20, verse 5, 21, verse 1, 27, verse 1 through 28, and 28, 16. He makes all these references to we. And why that's important is because he didn't just see himself as an outsider to that which what Paul was doing or the ministry of the kingdom of God. He was a partner in the work and a committed part of it, okay? Even in conflict, right? He was involved. So why is that important? Because in our church, we have four kinds of people in all the churches. I'll tell you right now. Ready? Get ready. Okay. All right. We have visitors, right? Attenders, members, and partners. So let me explain this to you. This is something that I get to share with other pastors. They really appreciate it. Visitors are the people that visit. Right? They're visiting for the first time, checking out the structure. Ooh, look at that architecture. Ooh, what a band, right? That's the visitors. Attenders are people that have moved past visiting, but are still kind of like dipping their toe in the water going, I like this place. I've been hanging out here for a little while. They got a lot of good teaching, some ministries, a couple of goofy people, but I like it. Those are the attenders, right? They're in there and they're regular and they might give from time to time. So you have the visitors, the attenders. You have members. Members are people who are there. They're committed. They're financially committed. They participate in some of the smaller groups. They participate in different elements. They love it because it's really a clicking to them how much this is a family. So that's you got visitors, attenders, members, and then you have partners. What are partners? So those are people that are where the members are and more. In other words, they're willing to use themselves in ministry, not just fulfilling the ministry of the church, but whatever the ministry of the kingdom is, and they're connecting it all back to the place where they're fellowshipping at their home base, okay? Luke is a partner. He's all the way in and more. Loves it, participates in it, totally connected to it. In Colossians 4:14, Paul makes reference that he is our dear friend. So not only is Luke this like really cool guy, but he's cool enough, let's just say, not cool hand Luke, but cool Luke, let's just say he's cool enough to be a friend to the Apostle Paul.
Cool Luke.
Cool Luke. Philemon 20, verse 24, he's a fellow worker, which we've already talked about. He's a partner. And then 2 Timothy 4:11 is the big thing about Luke, and people miss this a lot. And that scripture makes reference to Luke being loyal to the end. 2 Timothy is Paul's last epistle. And in that epistle, he's like, Luke, man, Luke's my rock. Luke's my guy. and hanging in there in ministry until the end is a characteristic that few possess, because when the ministry starts fluttering or death is around the corner, people start jumping ship and abandoning. But not cool Luke.
That's a lot there, Dave.
Oh, there's so much there.
Wow. And I love, you know, we're such nerds. We love that stuff, but I know I love it.
This is so important. No, that's like, that's the guy you're reading. It's like, that guy, that's important. Which New Testament book tells us Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are? Prayed earnestly, it might not rain. It did not rain. Book of James. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. We'll take our break here and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on Hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church we call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second and I said, yes, it's called hell.
That's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. I do want you guys to know, if you do call in and you can't get through, then just call back. There's no problem doing that. That's what Dynamite Diva, he loves that. Let's talk about people, say hello to people, stuff like that. So don't hesitate. It's no problem there. Okay. These are all tough. Sorry. See, you know how I do a lot of easy ones, right? Like, okay, you know, like, you know, what's the, you know, like, who's the Son of God? You know, it's like, you know, you guys don't get that. It's like, okay. But then there's these other ones that are a little tougher, like this one here, right here. All right, here we go. All right. This man in the book of Acts was described as a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, with all his household. He gave many alms to people and prayed to God always and was pivotal for a redirection. I didn't even finish the question. Joanne and Cordelia already answered. And was pivotal for a redirection of the gospel to a different people. Who was that? Who was that? And also, by the way, if you're a big fan of Planet of the Apes, would be one of the characters there. I just thought of that. Now that's funny. If you can figure that out, that's kind of funny right there. Sorry, that's just funny. Okay, so that's the question. So this man was described as a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always, was pivotal in bringing the gospel to a different group of people. We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Will.
Hey, Will, how are you?
I'm great, except for the heat.
I know. It has its moments, but you know what's great? It's going to come to an end at some point.
Well, yes. For those of us who are believers, it will.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. For other people, it could get lots hotter. Well, we'll get lots hotter, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Exactly right. All right, my brother, here we go. We need to know who this particular individual is. He's described as a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much money, much alms to the people, prayed to God always, and was pivotal in bringing the gospel to a new group. Who is this guy?
I believe that would be the one that Peter went to after being at the house of Simon the Tanner. He was a Roman centurion.
That is correct, and his name is... His name is Cornelius.
Oh, you wanted the name.
That's okay. You knew exactly what was going on. But that's funny because in Planet of the Apes, one of the original movies, one of the characters was named Cornelius. So that's why I threw that out there. I didn't think a lot of people know. But you got it. You were right on target. Right from Simon, from the Simon the Tanner. Exactly. It was just like, you know, Peter was like, that's where he had the vision. Where he's like, no, I can't get up and do that. God said, do it. He's like, no, I can't do it.
That opened up all of us Gentiles.
That's right. It opened up the door. It didn't eliminate it for the Jewish people, hence the person you're talking to now, but it did open the door wide so that people, all people can come in as a flood. And that's what was great.
I do want to know, do you think his nickname was Corny?
We'll jot that down and do a review. I don't think we'll have an academic answer for you, but right now I'm thinking that might be the best nickname I've ever heard for Cornelius.
Well, you know how pilots and stuff have their various nicknames and stuff. And I'm just thinking Roman centurion could be Corny.
Yeah, that's great. I'd give you $1 million if I had it. That's that good. That is pretty funny, dude.
Well, you just gave it to the Lord.
You got it, brother. Thank you so much. That was awesome. A great, 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 great job.
You have a blessed day, sir.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. This was just like, I don't know what to say.
Corny.
About that. Corny.
Wow. I hope not.
Hold on. I'm coughing because that was funny. You guys just, you got it. All right. Okay. Here we're going to do something we've never done. Two things. Two new things. Never, ever done. Well, I haven't done them. Doesn't mean they're never been done. So I haven't done them. Okay. So I was doing this study. Now, I'm going to do the Greek study in the next segment because that's just super fascinating. But I was doing this other study. I do lots of weird studies and stuff like that. And I came across this thing, and I wanted to read it, and I want you just to listen. So this is going to be a lot of listening, okay? And I want you to really listen, like listen. Like, I want you to hear it in the sense of not just hearing sound decibels, but I want you to interpret sound decibels, if that makes sense to you. So let me start off, and then I'll explain it, and you'll understand. This is actually called a scriptural bath. A scriptural bath. Now, I've been involved in some of this before in deliverance ministries and stuff, but not like this. This is a good, I do a lot of praying in the bathtub, so I love stuff like this. This is like one of the things I like, okay? All right. The truth from God's word is always the best source for help and comfort no matter what fears and feelings you battle as you tackle your objectives. What follows is an overflow of encouragement in the form of discouragement antidotes. Listen, it's encouragement in the form of discouragement antidotes. It's from Betty Barnett of YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. Okay? All right. So I'm going to read you 10 verses. And this is your scriptural bath. Doesn't last long, but just listen. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look at him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. Imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. The Lord is faithful to all of his promises and loving towards all he has made. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Now to him that is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. That's a scriptural bath. I was going to comment and then decided I'm not going to comment. There's nothing I can say, right? What are you going to say? Did you hear that, folks? I call on the Lord. I lift up my eyes. I sought the Lord. Let us then approach. The Lord is faithful. Let nothing move you. The one who calls you is faithful. To him is able to do more than all you ask or imagine. Summon your power, O God. I thank you, Jesus Christ.
Summon your power.
Oh, my goodness. That, my friends, that is a bath. But a good, clean bath. Right? Let those words just drip over you. Let them wash away the doubt, the fear, the discouragement. And let the enemy know that you have seized the truth. And in seizing the truth and the one who is true, you find freedom from all that holds you back. Come on. How do you not love the Lord? Wow. Wow. We're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassador's Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, yeah. La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike... you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth. We got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We got another trivia question, and we got, I would say, a couple of interesting teaches coming up. That's all I'm going to say. Here you go. Here's your next trivia question. As Stephen in Acts chapter 7 was being stoned, he called upon God and asked Jesus to receive his spirit. Who was the young man at whose feet the witnesses laid down their cloaks? As Stephen was being stoned, he called upon God and asked Jesus to receive his spirit. Who was the young man at whose feet the witnesses laid down their cloaks? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So there's three different ways to reach out to us and let us know you know who that is. Of course, there's a couple of good responses there. I think you guys will like that. In the meantime, somebody is ready. We're going to do our history. We'll do it after we take the caller. So let's do the caller next. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Sarah.
I'm sorry. What's your name?
My name is Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Can you turn down your radio just a little?
Yep, I just did it. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. Where are you calling from?
Heath.
Okay. Heath, hey, that's where my son lives. So nice area.
At least that's somewhere you know where that is.
I know. It's one of the few times somebody calls in and I know exactly where that is. That's so funny. All right, here you go. Classic question. Here we go. Get ready. As Stephen was being stoned, he called upon God and asked Jesus to receive his spirit. Who was the young man at whose feet the witnesses laid down their cloaks?
It was Paul.
That is correct, Amundo! So before he was Paul, he was Saul. So they laid it down at Saul's feet. That's 100% correct. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say you knew that right away. Is that correct?
I did. Oh. Yes, I did.
Excellent job. Excellent, excellent job. Really, really appreciate it. First time calling in?
First time, yes.
Oh, well, such a blessing. Don't hesitate to call either for prayer requests, praise reports, trivia, or just tell us how the weather is in Heath. Okay?
Absolutely. And I will say that this show is a blessing to us. So well, thank you and continue great work.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that deeply. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye. Wonderful. And that's right where my son is.
Yeah, right. In your area. In your neck of the woods.
You know what I should do, though? I should say, hey, Josh, why aren't you calling in? Anyway, I'll just leave that alone right there. I'll just kind of move on. That's not very nice of me to do. That's right. Let's do our history, and then we're going to do something I've never taught before, which is like, that's always interesting. Let's do history, though, in the meantime.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right. Today is Play in the Sand Day, which, of course, in Texas right now doesn't seem like a brilliant idea.
Not too brilliant. It'd be pretty hot to do that.
It's been a little bit hot today. Today is annual medical checkup day. So yesterday I did have my eyes checked up. It was the first time in many, many years. And you
is
know what
still,
she told me?
Still 2020?
Yeah, right. You know what she said? She said, you have two of them. I thought that was nice. Okay, so I'm just going to do this real fast because we didn't do any humor. This is also, by the way, Presidential Joke Day.
Uh-oh.
So I have just a couple of presidential jokes. I didn't write these. They didn't find these. These are just older, but these are cute. What do you call George Washington's false teeth? Presidentures. If George Washington were alive today, why couldn't he throw a silver dollar across the Potomac? Because a dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. Here's the last one. What did George Washington say to his men before they crossed the Delaware? Get in the boat. Okay. Get in the boat. Get in the boat.
That's pretty good.
All right. 1929, Babe Ruth became the first baseball player to hit 500 home runs. 1999, total solar eclipse is visible from Europe and Asia. And that's about all. Okay.
I bet.
All right. So, this teaching I have never done before. I do not know how it's going to go, which doesn't mean that I always know how it's going to go anyway, because about 90% of what I teach I've never taught before. But this one is super fascinating. So I was doing this weird word study. Now, I'm that kind of weird guy that thinks, oh, that's fascinating. Why are they saying in this translation this phrase, then this phrase? I've read the New Testament enough times to know, you know, about 150 times, maybe a little bit more at this point. But I know enough in the translations when they say a word, it's different from another translation. I just have to find out why. It's just like a hunt, right? So I came across this, and this is not to brag. This is to really help you, okay? I mean it, okay? I'm going to read to you three verses, but show you something that I had not really understood, and I'm still kind of working through it, which means that you got to work through it too, I suppose. Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus had the temptations with Satan, in Matthew chapter 4, the verse 1 of chapter 4 says, Jesus was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit didn't do the tempting. He was led in the direction for his time of trial and testing. In other words, he was directed saying, this is what you're going to do before you go in public ministry. Okay, this has got nothing to do with anything. That's just norm, right? It's this that I find absolutely fascinating. In the three responses that Jesus gave, two of the words are almost, they're identical, and the original first word is just like a regular kind of word. But yet, that is not the case at all when you dive into the Greek. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, after Satan had said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, the verse 4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What's amazing is that word answered is, in fact, apokrithes, and it actually means to respond or to answer. So that's part, okay, that's normal. What's fascinating about that? Nothing. That's not fascinating. It's the other two times that Jesus responds that it becomes exceedingly fascinating. In verse 6, the devil takes him up on a pinnacle, and he says, hey, if you're the Son of God, you know, throw yourself down. It's written, he'll give his angels charge over you. They'll put you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him. Now, stop. You see that word said? Okay, see, these are the weird things. These are the things you're just going to blow your mind. This is Ephi in the Greek. Some people say Ephi. I think it's Ephi. And so the first time Jesus responds, Jesus answers. But in verse 7, Jesus doesn't answer. He declares. So now hold on. So wait, what does that mean? So in the first encounter he has with Satan, it's very, what's the word we're looking for? It's like normal. Like he just answered, all right, replied. In the second encounter, he declares something. He's not responding. He's stating of absolute truth, a declaration. So the first one he replies, the second one he declares. No, wait, because we're not done. And then in verse 10, after Satan takes him up on a high mountain and says, hey, all the kingdoms of the world, showed him all of them. He said, all these I will give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And there's nowhere in there that says that Satan didn't have some sense of control in it. So there's no point in trying to go down that road. That's got nothing to do with anything. Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, that word said is legia, which is completely different. And that word means command. And so here's how it goes. So no, wait. This is just the mind-blowing stuff. So Jesus said to him, so watch when you read it with these different emphasis, because these are what the actual Greek word means. You can go through it 10,000 times. You'll find it all means the exact same thing what I'm saying. It says, on the first one, it's, but he replied. On the second one, it says, but he declared. And on the third one, it's, but he commanded. And each one is progressively more authoritative. So he responds, then he makes a declaration, and then he commands. And in the commandment, he says, away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So Jesus progressively steps up in his authority as he's working against Satan's temptations, which is exactly what you and I need to do. We need to not only reply, we also need to declare, which is the truth, and then we need to have a form of commandment, which is an absolute, thorough position of immovability. And so there has to be in your own life, as you're going through temptations, this, nope, I'm not going to do it, and get away from me, I'm not doing this kind of attitude. And so you think, well, how is that possible? Straightforward, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's how you do that. The more you surrender, the more power of God is working in you. The more the power of God is working in you, the more you have the ability to say no, to declare no, and to command no. Now, if you just read 50 regular texts, you would just, I'm telling you, and this is the kind of weird stuff that I look at and I go, you're telling me there's three different Greek words? So before I decided to teach this, this morning, so it's pretty recent, I went into the common, there's like, 24, 25 Greek texts. And it's like, I went into like the most commonly used, and yep, there are three different Greek words used three different times in three different ways, all for the reply that Jesus gave to the enemy. Each one progressively more powerful than the previous. You should also tell you can grow in your authority in Christ. Have to love that. How do you not love this? It's like, okay, that's cool. Even I think it's cool, and I'm the one who just heard it. Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The The David Spoon Experience.
I'm not going to do an overriding teaching that will make the Baptists or the Church of Christ proud, so neither one of you groups can be all excited about this because that's not the purpose of this. Here's where we're picking it up. As verse 34 ends, the eunuch asked Philip, what was Isaiah talking about, himself or someone else? Verse 35 from Acts chapter 9. Chapter 8 says, Philip began with the same scripture and then began to tell him about the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is some water. Why can't I be baptized? So let's just stop right there. When Philip was explaining the gospel to the eunuch, he had to include the understandings or the teachings of baptism, or the eunuch never would have said, why can't I be baptized? He never would have said it, never would have come up, unless Philip had brought that information to light. In multiple translations, it then says, you can, Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart. And the eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is often known as believer's baptism. Some texts will show this in the footnote. I disagree that it should be reduced to the footnote. I think it's a part of the text. I would not fellowship with you over that. I just think it is a part of the text because he asks a very pointed question. And in this exchange, Philip is giving a very pointed answer. So he's like, well, there's some water. I want to be baptized. I want to respond to the gospel. I want to say yes. And Philip responds by saying, you can. You can get baptized. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. Now, why that's important is because this is the difference between many different groups about who can be baptized. Some people think, well, a child can be baptized. Yeah, but a child can't believe in Jesus, so then how can a child be baptized? That's the argument, okay? Those are not fellowship issues. Those are disagreements. You know, I spent 10 minutes talking about understanding who's got the Spirit of God and who doesn't have the Spirit of God. When you have a difference of application of Scripture, that person's not an evil person. They're not some kind of demonic whatever. They see something different than you. Okay. They're genuinely in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is what redeems us. They are acknowledging their heavenly Father, praying, Our Father who art thou in heaven. They drink of the same Holy Spirit. They come to a different conclusion. Yeah. What else is new? Does everybody think McDonald's is the best fast food? Are you kidding? There's only a few people. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Wow. I mean, we've been having fun day today, and we're just really blessed. Thank you, sir, for calling in. It's wonderful we had a first-time caller. We love that. I mean, it's so cool. Because then you just know we're just expanding it and growing it, and that's what we want to do. And we're not trying to do this for anything other than what? To get one step closer to the Lord. And if anybody's got any other agenda, you're missing it. I mean, you're just missing it, right? I mean, even today I'm doing in the scripture. I saw something. I just can't wait to share it, but it's something from – you know how I'm doing Genesis and Revelation in my devotion? So one day I do Genesis, next day Revelation. There is something that I saw in Revelation 22 that goes back to Genesis 2 that is like the most amazing thing, especially when you connect it to Exodus 33. It's just it's like a mind. Okay, never mind. I'll just skip right there. It's a mind blow. I sit there going, really? I say to the Lord as I'm reading, I'm like, really?
That's how I am, Dave.
Really? That's what I say. Okay, so we have somebody who's calling in. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, Dr. David Spoon. This is Joyanne.
Hi, Joyanne. How are you?
I am highly favored and blessed.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. What a great answer that is. I am highly favored and blessed. Praise the Lord.
Yes. And I do love that you are saying Dr. David Spoon in the first half hour. So go San Diego
folks will know you know what you're talking about.
That reminds me of that T-shirt my daughter got. It says, I have a doctorate, so let's just assume I'm right.
Yes, and you are. I love the show today. Hey, you know, earlier I was praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I just need a sign. Should I call in today? And when Will Rogers mentioned that about Cornelius's name being a nickname of Corny, and of course, my mother's name was Cornelia, and my dad called her Corny. So my mom's been in heaven since 2005. If she runs into Cornelius, they can each call each other Corny.
That's a pretty good sign, though. I like that. That's a good sign.
Yes, it was. And this is why I wanted to call in. I love your message and your sermon. Today is actually my 39th wedding anniversary. So it's on a sad note, too, because the audience may know I've been separated from my beloved husband for 4 years. I still love and I miss him. But this is my prayer, Dr. David, that the Lord will save my husband. I still care for him. I still love him. And I care about the people out there who are going through marriage difficulty. So those tears are for broken hearts. And I know I'm not the only one. So would you pray for us, those of us who have struggled in marriage, and we long for our beloved, our husband or our wife to come to know the Lord. And in my case, it's my beloved husband, Stan.
Yeah, let me pray
for you. Pray for us. Thank you.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and there is nobody on this planet that can see Joanne's heart the way that you can see it. You see right into the core of who she is. You know exactly the pain that she's encountering. And your word makes it clear, Lord, that you share our pain, that you feel that with her. And we're so sad because we want you to touch Stan, her husband. We want something wonderful to happen in his heart and mind, that he would not be so cut off and so sharp and so distinct away from your kingdom. And we all have loved ones, whether they're spouses or family members, it's just the same thing. It just breaks our heart. We're just like so hurt, Lord, that they just don't get it. And we just want to like rattle them or just smack them or just something happen where something can change them. But Lord, only you can do that. Only you can change a person. Only you can bring a person to the full understanding. So we're asking, Lord God, for two things, that the people that we engage with, that you would soften their hearts. There's just so much hard soil there. There's so much bitterness. There's so many stones. And the seed's got to fall in good soil. So we're asking for some type of landscaping miracle in the hearts of these of our loved ones. And we're also asking for a greater sense of comfort because you are the God of comfort. And that you would bring comfort into Joanne's heart. Just she knows. She knows it's a struggle. She knows it's frustrating up and down. But there is this peace that passes understanding that only comes from you. And we ask you to pour that peace into her and into every one of us that feels that pain and knows that struggle. Only you can make this the way it needs to be made. As much as we try to manipulate, Lord, and as much as we try to control, we take this just like Jesus did and we lay it at your feet. And we say, please help us. Dad, please help us. And please help our hearts. And please help those who don't know you and are just too stubborn to see what we're trying to share, that they might have softenings in their hearts while there is time to be softened. Have mercy on these people and pour your grace upon us. We need your help in it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. David. And I just want to say, too, I had such a sweet Bible time and study time with my Lord this morning. When you go through stuff like this, you know, the times with our Abba Father are so intimate and precious and sweet. And he gives a miracle to me every day. Yesterday he helped my sick kitty to just get much better, and I found a vet within a mile who cost a lot less than my regular vet. So Kitty Guinevere is happy and purring today, and she's a comfort to me. So that's how gracious our Lord is. He's our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. So thank you for that beautiful spot on prayer. And we're praying for the others, John and Nolan, others, so many to name in our audience that are, you know, have needs. So thank you for this platform. And we bless you, Dr. David Spoon, and have a wonderful weekend, you and Dee and everybody on the station there. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless
you. Thank you. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless you. So this is what the best part about the show is right there, I would say. I mean, I don't know what else would you say about that? This is the best part, is that we're just like, this is the realness of it. This is what faith is. Were you going to say something,
yeah,
Dave? Go ahead.
You know, because I went through something not as long as she did, just something brief, the beginning of this year, and it's still a wound that I'm dealing with right now, kind of the area that the enemy attacked. It's so important for those people who go through that not to feel alone, because
yeah,
the enemy will beat you up. You'll feel so dejected, angry, frustrated, how me, why me, that can really get to you.
It can. You know, it's a bizarre thing I'm going to say, but I don't want anybody to take it wrong. So this reminds me of when I went in with my brother into when my dad passed away, and he was like, Jewish custom was a little different. And so we were there, and it was just me and Billy and my dad, and he was dead in the room. And it was just like the Lord, it just dawned on me, this is where faith is. It can be in a lot of places, but this is where it needs to be right here. And that's what we need. We need to believe not only that God can, but that he will, and operate with a confidence. And in the meantime, comfort us while we're hurting, okay? All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to take a 70 and one-half-hour break, then we're going to come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. Have a great weekend.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.